Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitcom, where it's 50 degrees and overcast. Today is Tuesday, June 26th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. There was a rumor swirling around Sitka last week that someone had been mauled by a bear. Enough people asked us about it here at Raven Radio that we made a couple of calls to find out exactly what happened. And according to Phil Mooney, the area wildlife biologist with the Department of Fish and Game, it was a false alarm.
As far as we know at this moment, that bear attack did not happen.
Mooney's office got a call early last week from staff at Search. They had treated a patient who claimed he had been attacked by a bear, but hospital staff said his injuries didn't look like they'd been caused by a bear.
The hospital relayed to us that the wounds were more consistent with a fall.
Mooney says the level of bear activity so far this summer has been about the same as in years past. A sow and three-year-old have been sighted in the Starrigavin Estuary, causing the Forest Service to close the boardwalk there several times, and there are several juveniles active around town. Residents have reported bears on Andrew Hope Street, at Halibut Point Rec, and on Sawmill Creek Road. Mooney reminds Sitkins to lock up their garbage, avoid leaving pet food outside, clean up barbecues, and above all, not to get too close.
I would also say that whether or not the bear is out there or walking down your street or in your passing through your yard, the same thing applies. You don't want to approach the bear, and you feel free to take pictures from the safety of your car or your house, and that's fine to call your neighbors up and tell them there's a bear in the area, but just so they're aware of it. But what most cases right now, we have a variety of juveniles of different ages in town, and they're simply moving through, trying to pick up food.
Mooney said the bears should move on soon, as long as they don't get a taste for human food, and he encouraged people to call the Sitka Police Department or the Department of Fish and Game to report bear sightings. Sitka motorists could pay more to register their vehicles in order to fund road repairs. That's the idea behind a plan before the Sitka Assembly tonight. It's the latest effort by city officials to find money for the roads and to address a problem they say is growing more urgent. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
Edgecombe Drive is about a mile long and runs through one of Sitka's residential neighborhoods. It's also at the top of the list for Sitka streets in need of repair. On average, 887 cars per day travel up and down this street. That number comes from a 2010 survey conducted by the State Department of Transportation. But the road tells its own story. It's full of patches and potholes and what engineers call alligator cracks, those long ruptures that look like the skin on the back of a large reptile.
The amount of need for roads, and this is from memory, the deferred maintenance is in the tens of millions.
That's Assemblymember Mike Reif, and his memory is pretty good. The city estimates that in the next decade, worst-case scenario, it's going to take $36 million or more to address all of Sitka's roadway needs. To start paying for that, Reif and Assemblymember Mim McConnell are co-sponsoring a measure that would add a fee onto the money Sitkins pay when they register their vehicles. For the average family car, it would be $200 every 2 years. Commercial vehicles would pay $400 every 2 years. Non-commercial trailers would pay $100, and motorcycles would pay $50. There are nearly 10,000 registered vehicles in Sitka, and the additional tax is expected to raise more than $900,000 a year. Reif says it makes sense that money for the roads should come from the people who use them.
A number of assembly members probably would have sponsored this. I don't think I or Mim are just the only two who would have sponsored that. I think a number of assembly people would have sponsored it. I think the public is going to see the connection.
Over at the Petro Express gas station on Catley Ann Street, Scott Horrigan is filling up his motorcycle.
It's a Yamaha Midnight Varigo 750. Good bike.
If the assembly passes the increased vehicle fees, Horrigan would pay an extra $25 a year for the motorcycle and an additional $100 a year for his car.
I don't know. But it's not too bad. It doesn't sound like a bad deal. And the roads and city could definitely need it in certain areas.
Two other motorists we talked to seemed to agree, but a couple of pumps away, Stephanie Weddle isn't so sure.
I'm not thrilled about any new taxes, especially if it's going to be something that's going to be added onto what we're already paying. They just keep coming up with new ways to tax us for things that most often don't apply to us.
But in this case, the tax on motorists would pay for the roads.
Well, I think they do need work, but I think that we could come up with some better ways. I think that there's some other options out there that they could look into besides adding more taxes onto what we've already got.
Any ideas in particular?
I'd have to think about that one for a while.
The city has been thinking about it. It asked voters in 2009 to issue bonds for road repairs. The measure narrowly failed. It asked for road funding again in 2011, but this time by increasing property taxes. Voters rejected that measure 2-1. Raising the motor vehicle registration fee will not go to the voters. It's up to the assembly. The upcoming meeting is the first of two that the measure would need in order to become official. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The proposed fees would be on top of what Sitkans already pay to register their vehicles. That amount operates on a sliding scale depending on the age of your vehicle. We put together a chart explaining how it all works on our website, kcaw.org. Sea Alaska Corporation shareholders have voted down a term limits measure. It called for limiting board of directors members to 4 3-year terms for a total of 12 years. It attracted a little more than a quarter of the voting shares required to win. Sea Alaska Corporate Secretary Nicole Hollingstad says shareholders also returned 5 incumbents.
The Sea Alaska board slate was reelected. Directors Albert Kukash, Barbara Caliente Nelson, Bill Thomas, Joe Nelson, and Tate London were reelected.
3 independent board candidates lost: William Micklin, Raymond Austin, and Edward Sarabia, Jr. Sea Alaska is the regional native corporation for Southeast Alaska. It has more than 21,000 shareholders, with fewer than half living in the region. Election results were announced at Saturday's annual meeting, which was held in Juneau.
Approximately 350 of our shareholders joined us at Thunder Mountain High School for our annual meeting, and 417 of our shareholder households viewed the webcast of our annual meeting this year.
Last year's meeting in Haines attracted about a third as many people, but twice this year's webcast count. Those attending Saturday's meeting heard from Hawaiian Native leader Ninoa Thompson of the Polynesian Voyaging Society. Hollingstad says he spoke about Alaska Natives as cultural leaders. He also talked about a major expedition he's planning to several Polynesian islands.
It is designed for those paddlers to navigate the way the old Hawaiians did, merely by geography and the stars along the paths that their ancestors used to paddle. And he indicated that it would be wonderful if some Alaska Natives could join those Hawaiians on the voyage.
The board also voted to retain Sea Alaska's management team. We have board election counts on our website, kcaw.org, posted with this story. The state is warning Southeast residents not to harvest shellfish because of a large bloom of algae in Southeast Alaska waters, coupled with warm summertime weather. Department of Health and Social Services spokesman Greg Wilkinson says people need to be extra cautious because of ocean water conditions.
It's just that right now, this monitoring that's being done by the folks through the University of Alaska Southeast have shown higher than normal levels of the algae that produces paralytic shellfish poisoning. So where we always advise against, you know, personal harvesting of shellfish, right now it's going to be a even more dangerous time.
Wilkinson says water samples from around Southeast are showing increasing levels of 2 types of algae.
They did some along the Edelin Island. They did some on the west side of Prince of Wales Island. The samples that they took around Juneau are also very high, both for Alexandrium, which causes paralytic shellfish poisoning, and Dinophilus, which produces what's called a diuretic shellfish poisoning, which gives you really bad diarrhea, neither of which you would really want to get.
Toxins in the algae can accumulate in clams, mussels, oysters, gooey duck clams, scallops, and crab guts. Health officials recorded 8 reported cases of shellfish poisoning last year and 4 people hospitalized by shellfish poisoning. PSP can paralyze and kill its victims. Early warning signs are the tingling of lips and tongue. The state says commercially harvested shellfish sold in stores is tested and is safe to eat. Any suspected cases of PSP should be reported to the state section of epidemiology at 269-8000 or 1-800-478-0084. A small airplane made a successful emergency landing on a beach on an island in Southeast. The Piper Cherokee 6 landed at Goose Point on Pleasant Island Monday morning. The plane was carrying five on an air excursions flight from Juneau to Gustavus. Mike Loverink is the air excursions director of operations. He tells the Juneau Empire that five people on board were taken to Gustavus by boat to be checked by medical personnel. It wasn't immediately clear what problems the plane encountered, and Loverink says federal authorities will investigate. Pleasant Island is uninhabited and is located just a few miles southeast of Gustavus. The state health department says the percentage of overweight and obese students in the Anchorage School District declined from 38% to 36% during the past eight school years, while the change between the 2002-2003 and 2010-2011 school years is small. The department says it is statistically significant. Andrea Fernati, the department's epidemiologist who conducted the study, says it means the decline is unlikely due to chance. Alaska's chief medical officer, Ward Hurlburt, says he's encouraged by the findings. He says the school district implemented important changes. He says his department also is tackling the obesity issue. The department says during the study, the district banned the sale of junk food and soda in schools, adopted a wellness policy, and increased the time provided for elementary physical education each week. That's going to do it for news for this hour. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and PA. Calls for rain, highs around 53, south winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, rain likely, lows around 47, south winds at 5. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Chance of rain, highs around 56. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.